ओम शांति। गॉड इज प्रेज्ड एज द ऑल नोअर, नॉलेजफुल नोअर ऑफ द थ्री एस्पेक्ट्स ऑफ टाइम, दैट इज He is the one who comes and reveals the truth about himself and his creation. Baba says, till I come, no one is able to tell the truth. Why? Why no one is able to tell the truth about the Creator and His creation? You can't hear me? Can you hear me now? God, as I mentioned, God is known as the All-Knower, Knowledgeful, the knower of the three aspects of time. We say Trikal Darshi, Gyan Ka Sagar, the ocean of knowledge. And He is the one who reveals the truth about Himself and His creation. So Baba says, no one except Me can reveal this truth. Why no one else can reveal the truth? Pardon? Stone intellect. Okay. Body conscious. Right? Because no one is pure. No one knows the truth. No one is soul conscious. First of all, let us understand what truth means. It's very interesting to really understand this word, truth. We say God is truth. But what is the definition of truth? Truth is that which is eternal, immortal, imperishable, which cannot be changed, which cannot be destroyed, which has already always existed, and it will always exist. This is the real definition of truth according to the scriptures also. And if we understand it in this way, then how will we understand truth? The soul is truth. The supreme soul is the truth. Because both can neither be created nor destroyed. They were always there and they will always be there. And we say even matter is the truth. Even the five elements, they are the truth, because even matter was never created. And matter or nature will also never be destroyed. So it was, it is, and it will always be. So this is the definition of truth. There's a very interesting story on this. Baba speaks about the story of King Janak. How he got knowledge in 1 second, Jivan Mukti in 1 second. So his guru was Ashtavakra. He was a very ugly looking person. Very ugly looking. Asht means eight. So eight like curves on his body. Not a very smooth body. Very ugly looking figure. But he was his guru. because he got true enlightenment from him. There are many stories, but there's one story about him that King Janak saw a dream. And in that dream, he saw that another king of another kingdom attacked his kingdom and captured the king, King Janak. So as he was taken captive and his kingdom was taken over by the other king, he saw it all in a dream. And he was taken to that king who had conquered his kingdom. And that king said, well, now you are no longer a king, but you are a captive. You are under me. So how should I behave with you? Tell me, how should I behave with you? So King Janak said, well, you be the king, take this kingdom, because King Janak was supposed to be very detached, even though he was a king. But he was not attached to his kingdom. So he said, okay, take this kingdom if you have captured it. But then you just leave me alone, I will go and become a sannyasi. Go in the jungles and become a recluse. And just see me. So the king said, okay, you can go and live in the forest like a sannyasi. He's seeing everything in a dream. And the king told one of his soldiers, okay, take this Janak to the forest. So he's seeing that how he's been taken to the forest. And while he's going to the forest for his hermit life, living in the forest, he felt hungry. And he asked the soldier, do you have some food to eat, because I don't know what I'll get in the forest. So that soldier felt sorry for him, such a big king, and asked, begging for food. So he said, okay, I have brought my food from home, you can take a share. So as he took that share and he was about to put in his mouth, a big eagle came from the top, from the sky. And that eagle just grabbed that food he had in his hand. And as he grabbed, made some sound on his hand, no? And immediately he woke up. He looked around, he was sleeping in his bedroom. It was such a lovely bedroom, studded with diamonds, you know, big, big palace. So much fragrance everywhere, and he was in such a beautiful atmosphere. And here he saw a dream of him going to the forest and hungry, you know, all that. And then he looked around, he said, what is the truth? Is this what I see around me, this beautiful palace and all this, is this the truth? Or was that dream the truth? So he couldn't really get the answer. So he went to his guru, Ashtavakra, and asked him this question and shared their experience. So Ashtavakra gave a very beautiful answer. He said, neither was your dream the truth, nor is all this palace the truth. Both are not the truth. Then he asked, what is the truth then? So Ashtavakra told him, the one who experienced both, the dream as well as who's experiencing, that one is the truth. So who is experiencing? The soul. So that one is the truth. So then he gave the knowledge of the soul to him. You are eternal, this, that, and you know. And that is why in the scriptures it's written that even this world is not truth. They say jagat mithyam. This world is all imagination. It is all illusion. Brahma is the truth. Brahma. That is the God, Supreme. So we understand that actually, in a way, we call it the untruth because it's changing. So if something is changing, it is not the truth. Supposing a person is hiding some truth. Something happened and he asked, what happened? Or did you do it? and he wants to hide that truth. So what will he do? He will tell a lie. You know, he will say, no, 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 not like this, like this. And then another question can be asked, how this and how not that, and then he will have to say another lie. So in order to hide one truth, or in order to prove that one lie, how many lies will he have to speak? All are lies, because he's hiding one truth, one reality, whatever you may call it. So, in order to hide that truth or reality, he has to speak many lies. And ultimately, it can turn into that his last lie is totally opposite the first lie. Because he has changed his statements. Every now and then, he's changing his statements. And it can be said that he's telling lies. But the one who's really speaking the truth in a general way can be defined as something what has already happened, and you say that exactly in the manner you saw it, without any exaggeration, without any hiding, everything. Whatever you felt, you saw, you spoke out. That's the truth. But if he's hiding that, how many more lies he'll have to say in order to really prove that first statement which he gave, or to hide that truth. And therefore, truth is defined as something which cannot change. It is eternal. So if he's changing his statement, he's telling lies. Similarly, we understand truth in different ways. In politics, what is truth today? Dirty politics, dirty, we say. They say, the one who gets majority, he wins. Even if in the majority there are all thieves and crooked people and bad people, but because he gets the majority, he wins. So truth is numbers. That's all. That's the majority. What is in judiciary, in law, evidence? If no evidence, then no proof. And even if big murderers, they are freed because there was no evidence. And how true the evidence may be, who knows? There could be so many made up stories, but then that's called the truth. So a big difference between the truth as understood in spirituality and the truth understood in the world. So Baba says, actually, these three things are the truth. Soul, Supreme Soul, and matter. Nobody created them. Nobody created these three. But then again, what's the difference between the three? The game is between two, not three. The game is between soul and matter. And Supreme Soul is the eternal truth who never changes. Baba says, Shiva is the name of the soul, the Supreme Soul. Only he gets a name. We don't get name on the soul. We get the name on the body. But then the game is between these two, soul and matter. And in a way, both are eternal. But in a way, both do change. How we change? Matter is always changing, always. Every moment there's movement. Every second there's wear and tear, and then from, so Baba says, Sato Pradhan to Sato to Rajo to Tamo. So there's a change. So anything which is changing is untruth. I say this is a wall. Will you call it truth or not truth? You say, of course it's the truth. I go and just bang my head, I'll get some injury. Definitely, it's the truth. But spiritually, it's not the truth. Why? Because it is always changing. Physically, it's the truth. It is there. I can measure it. I know what it is made up of and all that. But it's always changing. Now, similarly with soul. Soul cannot be created nor destroyed, but the soul also goes through phases, sato, rajo and tamo. So it's only the supreme soul who never goes through any of these phases, any of these, no changes at all. And therefore we say God is the truth. So actually even matter and soul are truth because they are never created, never destroyed. But then the other aspect of no change or no difference, but that is not there in soul and matter because they do change. But then the game is between the two. And when Baba also says that matter also is subservient of soul. Even animals, birds, Baba said in today's Murli also, I come and give his knowledge to humans. When humans are elevated, satopradhan, even the animals, birds, nature, everything becomes satopradhan. And when human souls degrade, then then everything, even animals, birds, nature, everything degrades. So if I want to uplift, then what do I have to do? I won't uplift each and everyone. What do I do? Just uplift souls, human souls. It's like watering that seed. Water the seed, the whole tree will be watered. So change the human souls, the whole world will change. But then God is called the truth because He is never changing. But then how does He change us? Again, that's another aspect of truth. How does He change us? He says, you have to perform the action. I can only guide you. I can only advise you. I can only tell you what to do and what not to do. But to do or not do is up to you. It's up to you. I can help you. That's all. Guide you, help you, advise you, suggest you, all that. But doing the action is your part. Baba, sometimes children tell Baba, Baba, don't send Maya to me. Don't send Maya to me. Baba said, you have to fight. I'm not going to rule in golden age. You are going to rule. So, you have to fight. So how this game of soul and matter is there? And when soul is the master, matter, nature is subservient, then this world is heaven. But then as the change happens, the soul comes down, matter becomes the master. And when matter becomes the master, body consciousness, then what happens? The world becomes hell. But who will change hell into heaven? The one who is beyond the cycle. Therefore Baba said his role is different. His role is not like souls, is not like matter. He is the master, the supreme. But he doesn't come in the cycle. He only intervenes when there is need for the transformational change. Transitional change happens gradually on its own. But transformational change can be brought about only the one who is beyond the cycle. Otherwise both come in the cycle and the transitional change happens in the cycle of the soul as well as of matter. So transformational change, like from day, from morning till night, of course the changes come, but then from night, complete darkness into day, the sun has to come. Only then the day will come. So Baba is called, God is called the sun of knowledge. And he transforms the complete darkness into complete brightness. But when that complete darkness is there, there's actually 100% guarantee that the sun will rise, the day will come, and the darkness will go. So it's like that. So now we say that we are at the fag end of the cycle. In the scriptures there is mention of so many different aspects to understand how it's the end of the cycle. You know, what happens when it is the end of the cycle, or what happens when it is time for God to come. God intervenes. So all that is mentioned. There are so many aspects, very interesting. And we see how all that is happening now. All in different fields. First of all, let us take family. They say for family it should be give respect to seniors and give love to juniors. Juniors should be given love, children should be given love, and respect should be given to elders. And of course, equals share that. Let there be equal sharing and giving respect and giving love. But then, end of Kali Yuga, we say there's one sign of total degradation or decay of righteousness and religiousness is that everything turns opposite. We say nowadays little children, they want respect and elders want love. Am I right? Nobody cares for seniors, old people, old age homes. They are put in old age homes and really nobody cares for them. And the father will tell his son, son, at least come once a month to meet me. Just, it would be so nice if you can come once a month to meet me. And the son will say, oh, I have no time. So the elders are wanting love. The children should give them that love. May not be respect. And the children will say, if father says something to the son will say, who are you to tell me this? Who are you? Why do you tell me? That means what they want? Respect. You can't tell your little one, do this, don't do this. You can't. Why? What you can say is, would you like to do it? What do you think? You think it's good for you or not good for you? So let that child decide. You can't tell him what is good for you and what is not good for you. So, because they think they are intelligent. So they need respect and the younger ones need, older ones need love. This, everything is turning opposite. Next we see in the field of politics. So we say principle-less politics. Politics we say in Hindi Rajniti. Rajniti means the ethics for ruling. And in today's world, any ethics working in ruling? No, not a single one. I need not go into the details. So when such things happen everywhere, we say it is the end of the cycle. Politics today, no kings anymore, no really sovereign, no authority. And therefore that one authority is not there, so each one thinks he is the master, he can do whatever he wants. And therefore we say principle-less politics. So, family, politics, ruling, then we see in business. Third aspect is business. So, in business they say, sadachar hin vyapar, means in business also, that feeling of giving, that feeling of trust is no more, finished. There is only bribery, there is mistrust, there is lack of faith, so all these things which are against the true disciplines, that's working today in today's world. So that's in business. Fourth is science. Today science is working for the destruction of mankind, whatever it is doing. It is leading only to destruction. Fifth is religion. So on the name of religion, today irreligious acts are being done. Bhakti today also has become totally, no morality even in bhakti. There is so much of blind faith in bhakti. On one hand, bhakti is rising in every religion. But on the other hand, Baba says, going away and away from God, away and away from the truth, away and away from the true self also. So this is the fag end of Kali Yuga. And Baba keeps telling us that, children, you are responsible for bringing in the new world. Today also Baba mentioned, you have to give message to the world. I was mentioning in the class that it was in the year 1980. This Moodle, which was revised today, I think it must have been on that day, when Baba said in that Moodle, you have to serve every soul, you have to give message to everyone. Now there's so many billions of people in the world, how can you give message to everyone that God has come? So that one doubled was one sister from which country. She said, I want to ask Dadi, I want to speak to Dadi, Dadi Prakashmani. So I took her to Dadiji and she asked a question that Baba said, you have to serve everyone. But how can we serve the whole world? It's impossible to serve the whole world. In 1980, there was hardly any service in foreign countries. Very little service. In India also, not much. But then at that time, Dadiji had a vision. Like she was sharing her vision, that how Baba's service will spread. It's not that we will go to every home and every human being and give them the message, but that something will work from outside this earth. And she meant the satellite, that how from the satellite the message will come in every home and how God's work will be done. We won't have to go everywhere. But she spoke in such a beautiful manner, Dadiji, that the sister was convinced. But then now we understand how Baba's message is being given, how Baba's children, really I'm wondering, I visited Russia this year, and in Russia we have so many centers, so many. And all the Baltic area, that region, you know, the countries which were separated from USSR. How Baba's children in Russia, they are so anxious, I want to serve in this country, I want to serve in that country, I want to serve in this country, and they're opening new centers. I met a group of those Baba's children who are prepared to go to other countries to serve next to Russia. And Sister Santosh, as well as Sister, what's her name, Russia, Santosh and the other one. No, not Chakradari. Sudha. There, in both places, St. Petersburg as well as in Moscow. That because St. Petersburg is serving some countries and Moscow is serving other countries. So it's nice. So they have divided in this way so that they can do the individual service. And so they were asking me that how to not how to do service, because they know better of that, but how to run a center. How to run a center. What is needed in order to be united in order to serve. You know, because when we are together, so many things can happen. So how do we live together? And they were asking me, in Madhuban, how do you live? Such so many Baba's children here, and all from different backgrounds. From different regions of India, speaking different languages, eating different type of food, and yet all eating from one kitchen. So how you all stay in Madhuban, and so that we can also do in these different countries. We go to a country, completely new culture, everything new. So how do we serve them? And how do we have to be tolerant? How do we have to be accommodating? How we need to really share that love with all. So just sharing knowledge is not enough. Because even sharing love is very important. But still not be attached, not to hate anyone, not to, give out the secrets of anyone also. Be accommodating, be like a good mother. You know, so all these things are needed to run a center also. So that's what they were asking, and it was nice conversation with them. But what I'm trying to say is that God is doing His work. Nobody ever expected that God would come in this way, as we say. Coming through a medium and speaking to us. Brahma Baba also never really understood that he was a medium of the Supreme. Even Gulzar Dadi never really expected at the beginning that this would go on for 43 years. You know, I was just wondering, Shiv Baba in the body of Brahma for 33 years, from 1936 until 1969. And now, Gulzar Dadi medium from 1969 until 2012, nearly 13. So how many years? 43 years? 44? 43? 44 years? So much more than Sakar Brahma Baba. And how this work is going on in an incognito manner, and the world transformation is going on. Many people really wonder, how you people do it? How are you run this organization? One family to have four children, five children, it's so difficult. And one person having a few shops and some people working under him, so difficult, you know. So different, everyone is different. So difficult to keep them together. And here, so many Baba centers, so many children, and all following the same path, for remembering one Supreme Being, keeping only one aim in mind, getting the same lessons. Baba, like Baba said today, that when Shiv Baba came in the body of Brahma, even Brahma was a student. He was not the teacher. He also used to listen. Baba spoke to children, he also listened, you know. That is why we often say that Brahma Baba never missed the Murli. Could he ever miss the Murli? But now for Gulzar Dadi, we say that she never listens to the Murli. Because Shivaba sends her into sleep. But the other day, Gulzar Dadi also came. You know, Baba actually woke her up. Actually, people were surprised how Gulzar Dadi's voice was being heard. But actually, Baba must have woken her up. Because she felt, she was sharing an experience that how she felt that she's able to watch. And then, because Baba was praising Salla Didi, you know, at that time only, you know, and her voice came. So Baba said, yes, Dadi has come. So like Baba woke her up. And she also started praising Salla Didi, that how they looked after her so well. So just to be grateful for the service they did. But then afterwards, I don't know if you all could notice, but did you all notice in your countries? First we could feel that how like Gulzar Dadi is accepting the food also. Then afterwards again the change came. Could you notice? I don't know if you all noticed. But we noticed it very well. And then it became Bab Dada again. The same thing when Dadiji came in the chariot of Gulzar Dadi, we could note, it's not Gulzar Dadi, it's not even Bab Dada. Immediately Dadiji, you know, we could feel. It's very interesting. But then, this is the way God does His work. Otherwise, how does God come? You know, many people say, why does He have to come? Can't He really do from the soul world, you know, give inspirations and do from the soul world? But Baba says, no, souls are so body conscious. And therefore people find it so hard to understand that God comes in a chariot and speaks. We could see in Brahma Baba also how the difference would come on his face. When Shiva Baba would come in his body, we could immediately feel the difference. Immediately. The eyes, Baba's drishti, Baba would stand in such a powerful way and become totally detached from any type of, body consciousness, totally, completely different, we could feel immediately. We would all stand like this, like Baba was a lighthouse standing in front of us and giving drishti. We would know, it's not Brahma Baba, because if Brahma Baba would be there, he would be like a father, sometimes even joking with the children, sometimes playing with the children, sometimes becoming a child with the children, you know, eating with the children. But when Shiva Baba would come, it would be very official immediately. He would become like that. Baba would stand, you know, nearby his offices here in the courtyard, and immediately everybody would stand, and Baba was tall, so he would give drishti to everyone. I mean, Shiva Baba was there. And it wasn't Brahma Baba alone. But when Brahma Baba alone would be there, Baba would say, "Yes, child, yes, yes, Baba, child, how's your son? How, what business you are doing?" We would know it is Brahma Baba speaking. Yeah, we could know the difference. And we could know immediately when Shiva Baba has come. So this was the beauty we would see in Brahma Baba. And also when Baba would come, the whole atmosphere would change. So charged it would become. In Brahma Baba alone, then we could feel very light, different feeling. But the same thing we get, feeling we get when Bap Dada comes. Many people say, "Oh, if God is coming, then some miracle should happen." Say, what miracle do you expect to happen? You want the ceiling to break? Split open and God comes like this? No. It's all very incognito. Like Baba said in today's Murli also, it's all incognito. How God is doing His work in a very incognito manner and transforming souls. We are transforming ourselves. We are transforming ourselves. And in such a loving manner, God is doing that. God is not doing it in a very harsh manner. Because Baba knows the children have really been harassed a lot by Maya. They've experienced a lot of sorrow, lot of suffering, and therefore Baba will not want his children to suffer more. And therefore he makes it very easy. He says, "Children, remember me, remember me." So in such an easy manner he says that, "Be soul conscious and remember me. Only I can teach you Raj Yoga." So who can say this? No bodily being can say, because Raj Yoga means the royal form of yoga where you inculcate royalty and become royal deities. Only God can do that. So seeing this period of time, seeing how Baba's work is really reaching its culmination, the last final stage, we can understand that not much time is left. When Baba was in Sakar for 14 years, the sisters who were in Tapasya, in the Bhatti, all the time Baba was with them, all the time. Day and night Baba used to be with them. And when Baba used to say, "The children, we are together, we will be together and we will go back together." But it has such a deep meaning. We are together, we will be together, we will go back together. So children used to think maybe Baba and Mama will always be alive in this body and we also will be alive in this body and we will all go together. That was the understanding some had. Of course, many had, not some, but because they never expected Baba would leave us, Mama would leave us, the Dadis would leave us, you know. How long this Sangam will last, even that was not known. Because if we are to go together, that means it's not going to be for thousands of years. But then, we didn't know that we will go back together, yes, but not necessarily leave this body. It can be any other body because the gates of soul world haven't opened yet. Brahma Baba is also is not gone back. He's there in the subtle regions waiting for the children. Even that was not known at the beginning. But, so the senior, the Dadis, they just renounced everything instantly. All their riches, their wealth, their comforts, their, you know, family, all that also they renounced instantly. Why? Because they got so many visions. Visions was the main reason for the renunciation, and that was so quickly done. Of destruction, visions of the golden age, visions of they becoming like, you know, princes and princesses, and all the experience of that. So it was easy for them to renounce this old world. Many, many people say that, why Baba is not showing visions now? Why Baba has stopped showing visions? Baba says, now you don't need the visions of destruction, of Kali Yuga end or destruction, because it's all visible, no? You can see it physically. You don't need visions. At that time it was not seen physically, and therefore Baba showed the visions. Now Baba need not show. Also, when Mama left the body, and Baba was speaking about in the day before yesterday in the Murli, how Maya would interfere, and some would say, Baba comes in me, Mama comes in me. Because Mama used to come, the soul of Mama used to come in some trans messengers' bodies. But then after that, when Baba stopped and Baba said that now she has taken birth, for nearly 2-3 years, Mama's soul used to come in trans messengers and would speak. But then later on, things changed in the sense that it would be really Maya, but then also wandering spirits. But then because those trans messengers were not very strong enough, how then it was those spirits speaking or whatever, and then the behavior would change. So when the behavior would change, we could understand it is not Mama. Because Mama was so royal, so sweet, so loving, and here somebody comes and starts speaking ill words or starts even shouting, you know. So how could that be Mama? But then when Baba was asked, Baba said, no children, this is not Mama. And now Mama is not going to come anymore. If somebody says Mama is in me, it's Maya. Because Mama has taken birth. Now she will not come. She will not come. No more. So, but then it's not that Baba cannot invoke that soul. Even now, like we invoke Dadiji, you know, on 25th of August, Baba sends Dadiji. So it's not that the soul leaves the body and comes here, but then Baba shows visions. These are all visions. But Baba says, that is also in my hand. Only I can show visions. The other day Baba was saying that somebody, supposing from any background, whomever he is remembering, that one get a vision. But then that soul is not present at this time. So who gives the vision? That soul cannot give the vision. Like those who have their personal gods or, you know, presiding gods. So those presiding gods or deities or those prophet souls, they cannot show the vision. Who gives the vision? Who shows the vision? It is Baba himself. He has the authority, he has the key. You know, very many times he says, I don't give this key to anyone of showing visions. Only I can show. I don't give this key even to my children. Why? Why I don't give that to my children? Because when they come on the path of bhakti, they will misuse it. In golden salvage is not needed, but on the path of bhakti, they can misuse it. And therefore, I don't give it to anyone. So Baba says, I keep it only with myself. I need it in copper age. But yes, he uses this key of visions when he has to start or establish golden age. Even the subtle regions, Baba establishes at this time when he descends. Before, no subtle regions. Even if people see vision of destruction and all, it's not through subtle regions. It is part of the drama. But subtle region, vision means it is the confluence age. So when we are seeing the cycle coming to an end, we really feel that now is the time for the big havocast or a big catastrophe, a big transformation. But then are we ready for it? For the past few years, Baba has been using these words. Children, suddenly, ever ready, and third word, long time, long period of effort. So suddenly, ever ready, and long period of effort. Because some children say, oh, when the end will come, we will gallop. We will work hard. We will really make very good effort. But Baba says it will not be possible. to do it at the end. Why will it not be possible? Why will it not be possible? Huh? Yes? There won't be time. Time for what? For the transformation, for the change. Because first of all, it will be all of a sudden. So we will, if we are not prepared beforehand, it happens all of a sudden, then where is the time to do it? So if we say we will do it at the end, we'll do it at the end, we'll never be able to do it. Because it will happen all of a sudden. And when it happens all of a sudden and we are not ready, that means we will fail. So we have to be always ready. Always ready. Mama used to say it, that the best method for doing good effort is always think this is your last moment. Always think, this is my last moment. So when I remember Mama saying that, so I started practicing. Supposing I'm to leave my body now. Suppose if I'm to leave my body now, what will my stage be? Will I be remembering somebody? Will I be remembering something? Do I have something which I've kept it as a secret that will be remembered when I'm leaving the body? Because such things will come at the end. If I have some secrets, if I've hidden something, if I have not revealed anything, something to someone, and it is all with me, it will become so like a heavy burden for me at that moment. And I'll be remembering only that. I won't be remembering Baba. Or Baba says, any weakness which I still have, that weakness will cause an obstacle in my way at that time. That will bring Maya at that time, and I may be defeated. I was saying the other day that how much strong I am depends on what weakness I have, you know? Because at that time that weakness will come and that will make me lose all my strength. You know, when even in the body, when any infection comes, the infection will come in that part of the body which is weak. It won't come in that part of the body which is strong. It will affect which organ? That organ which is weak. You know, even if there's cold and cough and all this in the atmosphere, infection in the atmosphere, virus and bacteria, but the one who is strong, he won't be affected. Cold and cough and flu, it will affect those people whose immune system is not very strong. Immediately cold and cough will come. But those whose immune system is strong, they will not be affected much. So even any part of the body too, which is a little bit weak, that will be affected immediately. In a chain, how strong the chain is, depends on the weakest, link. Depends on the weakest link. That link which is the weakest, and if it breaks, finish, that's the end of the chain. How strong a wall is, depends on its weakest brick. Because that weak brick, if it comes out, if it breaks, it'll bring down the whole wall, however strong it may be. So how strong I am depends on my weakest point. And if that point is affected, then my strength is gone. And Maya attacks from that side only. It affects that only. It will attack there. Because Maya knows, like Baba speaks about a thief. How will a thief enter a house? If everything is closed, locked, he can't enter a house. But how does he find a way in? Some loopholes. Something open, even little bit open, he can break through and enter. So that was a weak point. And that weak point helped him to enter. And even when countries attack another country, you know, how do they attack? They don't attack everything anywhere, anyhow. In this way, they will lose all their resources too, by just attacking anyone, anywhere. They won't go and attack in a desert, because there's nobody there. But what they will attack, what their main aim is, which they'll attack, they'll first of all attack the resource, from where the resource comes. So once that is attacked and destroyed, so no resource. How will they continue? And the second thing which they will attack is, will attack the communication line, so that they don't get help from outside also. First of all, attack the resource, then attack the communication line. So no help from outside. So Maya also does that. How it attacks our resource? The knowledge is totally wiped out from the intellect. The understanding is gone. I'm not able to understand anything, what I'm doing is right or wrong, because Maya has attacked my intellect. It attacks the intellect. And secondly, it attacks the communication. Immediately my remembrance also finished. I'm not able to communicate with Baba. So communication finished, that means no power received, and whatever power I have of my own, even that is finished. So where am I? Instantly I become bankrupt, like all my treasures lost. No help also from outside. That is how Maya attacks. But then Baba continues to give us the love. And he says, children, Baba knows. Because Baba is establishing a kingdom. Today's Murli also, Baba said, I think was a blessing. A kingdom is being established in which all types of status are needed, all types, every, from sovereign to a servant, all types of status. And all are being created here. And therefore, Baba will not give any punishment, but my own karma will be responsible for my punishment. I'll have to live for my karma. I can't blame anybody else at that time. And therefore, Baba says, bring your change in yourself immediately. And how do you bring it? The easiest way. Supposing I leave my body at this time, what will be my stage? Will I be remembering any human being? Will I be remembering any objects? Will there be any pulls? Will there be any attachments? If there are, that's my weak point.